Hey, this is Pastor Mark. You do not want to miss this week's podcast. You're going to laugh till you cry, but it's good tears. They're good tears. So, man, tune in, listen to this podcast. It's going to inspire you, encourage you, and prayerfully help bring change that you desire in your life. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. You know, I feel like I'm at a wedding, and that the bride's family is in attendance and the groom for God. It's like these chairs really have been sanitized. They're good. Okay, anyway, with that said, stand with me if you would, please. Just feeling a little humorous today. Laughter is good medicine. Some of y'all haven't drunk any in a long time, baby. Drink from the well of joy, all right? Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God, and I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same again. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to do something a little different. We're talking about the five steps to stronger relationships, and it's a little bit of a spin-off of Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. I say a little spin-off because that's really about true about it. But I do believe that he has discovered something that is very important, that all of us want to hear words spoken over us and to us that are positive, that are affirming. You know, it's very easy to point out people's faults, to be critical of other people. They don't do things the way you'd like. But I want to challenge you as we continue this series to stop when you're about to tell someone what they didn't do or you didn't do it right and affirm the things that you can find to affirm. We all make mistakes. We all do things wrong or we do things differently. And oftentimes, if someone doesn't do something our way, we determine that that's wrong in our minds. When it's not, it's just different. And we all need affirmed. And so I want to encourage you to keep affirming people around. Find things to say that are good, that are positive. It's just too easy to be negative, okay, because we're fallen creatures. Secondly, let quality time really be quality time. With iPads and iPhones and computers and so many things at our fingertips, it's very easy to think just because we're in the same room, we're in the same place, and we're not. You can be in the same room with somebody and be in a totally different place in your mind. And let me say this to you, it is felt. You can tell when someone is with you and someone is not with you, if they're really there or they're somewhere else. And it's so important, and I preach this not just to you. I'm getting a lot out of this in my own life, knowing there are things I need to change and things I want to do better to make other people's lives better. It's not my responsibility to make your life better, but I believe it's my responsibility to contribute to a better life for you, to be kind, to be affirming, to be present when you need me to be present. And so in relationships, these are critical points. And then last week I began talking about physical touch, which I said I'm very cautious about because there are people who have been physically abused, sexually abused, and even verbally abused. And all of those abuses affect our ability to have strong, intimate relationships. Men, it's very important for us to understand as much as possible that women are different in a good way, not a bad way. And in a world that wants to say everybody's the same, we all think a little differently, feel a little different, respond a little differently. Women have so many wonderful gifts, intuitive as they are. And so men have a certain drive and there's an expectation that that drive be met, and that drive may be met, but the intimacy of that drive is not met because you haven't made an emotional connection. And it's important that we understand, which is I'm going to be talking about today, when it comes to physical touch. We live in a world that is somewhat perverted, if you will, if not extremely. When I talk about touch, talking about a touch that is for the sake of the person being touched, not for the sake of the person touching. So if my touch is to make me feel better or I get something out of that, then that may be a touch that could be deemed inappropriate. So an appropriate touch is, I want you to feel my love for you, my appreciation. Even in a form of a handshake is touch. And it's everybody wants that, but they want it pure, and it's difficult to see purity when it's actually invisible in the hearts and minds of people. And there are what I call just the three kinds of touch. One is the spiritual touch, and then there's an emotional touch as well, which I'll be talking about today, the emotional side of that. And so I want us to grasp this, and I'll try to finish it today because this is very, very important in a world that has distanced itself, especially in our culture. One particular doctor said, he sat in a coffee shop all over the world. He sat in them all over the world, counted the times he saw one person touch another. His results, they say, are startling. In Puerto Rico, he counted 180 touches in an hour. There are certain cultures that's just how they communicate their affection and their concern or care for other people. Now, our culture is not one of those. You'll see that in a moment. In France, 110 touches in an hour. Now, these countries, this is just their culture. But in America, he sat in 1 hour, only saw two touches. We have distanced ourselves from touching other people. And I believe, as I stated last week, that COVID was one of those things that really damaged us in more ways than we will ever understand. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to continue to go out on a limb. I still believe it was designed to do exactly what it did, was to divide people and divide countries. And they've stated how many people died as a result of COVID. In reality, what I have come to realize interviewing doctors and nurses, and one particular doctor who's a Christian stated that he had one particular patient who died of a heart attack or some heart disease. And when he coded in his report that this particular patient died from a heart attack or a heart disease, whatever it was, the administrator of the hospital actually approached him and said, you need to put they died of COVID. The hospital will get $35,000 and you will get $25,000. Do you understand? Now see, being my age and you're young, you think I'm a conspiracy theorist, but the reality is there is a motive behind some of this that is absolutely a lie. Much of what we've heard is a lie. And so we have to be very cautious. But the big thing is the social distancing. Think about this for a moment. We had no idea how valuable touch was until COVID came along and we couldn't touch each other. And I want you to get this because there will be another round of this coming. I'm telling you, predicting it, prophesying, there will be another effort in the fall because we're approaching another election year. And there's a bunch of lies going on in order to get the right person for the people that. And if I lose everything over this, I'm willing to, because I'm telling you, the lies are out there and nobody's talking about the lies. And when they do, you're considered a hater. I'm not a hater. I'm a lover of people, and I care enough to tell the truth and expose the darkness. And it's out there. And so you got to get it. In England, there were no touches, none in an hour. And I taught there for 3 years, traveled back and forth 2 or 3 times a year, and spent time over there. And it is a very sterile relational environment, very stoic, not bad people, but there's just not a lot of activity when it comes to touch. And so you can see this in various cultures, and you can see the impact of it in various cultures. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, this was the foundational scripture I used. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. Now, this is very important. We read the Bible, and sometimes we miss a word. One word can have an impact on an entire sentence, paragraph, or even a book. One word. That Jesus was touched by the feelings of our infirmities. It means he had sympathy with. He was feeling our infirmities. He was actually feeling. And we live in a culture that most of the time what we do is we ask people, well, tell me what you think. Because we're afraid to hear what they feel. Because listen to this. Whatever someone feels, you have to validate. It's not scientific. If I have a feeling, all I need you to say is that that's okay. I feel you. But because I can't disagree with how you feel. I can disagree with how you think. But thinking are the results of facts or something you read. But a feeling or an emotion is invisible. It's intangible. And so when you say I feel a certain way, my responsibility is to validate that feeling. And you don't like it, so I can't believe you feel that way. You shouldn't feel that way. As a kid, I was told men don't cry. You, why do you feel that? You shouldn't feel that way. Don't tell me how I should feel. And don't let somebody tell you how you should feel. If you're feeling it, it's okay. You have a right to feel what you're feeling. Now, that means this, that it doesn't necessarily mean I have to agree, but I have to validate you. I have to validate you. And you have to validate me. If I feel neglected and I say I feel neglected, there's only one appropriate response. I'm sorry you feel neglected. Not, well, you shouldn't feel neglected. I'm all over you. And that's what husbands and wives often do, is they start attacking someone's feeling when in reality, you have a right to feel what you feel. And my responsibility is to validate that feeling even if I disagree or if I can't understand it, okay? So this will keep us, and what makes this important is you oftentimes will not touch people that you're not feeling for them as Jesus felt for us. It says he had empathy for us. He felt what we felt, so he connected with humanity through that feeling. He knew we were sinners, but then he came and he said, I was touched by the feelings of your infirmities. And that doesn't just mean physical sickness. That can mean emotional sickness. It could be mental sickness. It could be various kinds of things that he was touched by. And so in the first part, the spiritual side of touch was Jesus laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Now you have to understand the power of this, because Jesus literally, there were times he spoke and there were times he touched to bring healing. And since we don't serve an age of miracles, we serve a God of miracles, miracles still happen today. In fact, this will go out on people that have never seen a miracle or had talked to someone who had a miracle. It is hard to believe how miracles work because we don't know. We don't know how they work. God is a supernatural God. We're natural people. And so sometimes our natural tries to figure out his supernatural, when in reality, you'll never figure out the supernatural of God. We'll never figure out how he parted the Red Sea. We'll never figure out how the Jordan parted. We'll never figure out how he spit in dirt, made mud, put it on a guy's eyes, and he could see. Come on now. I mean, do we really care? All we care about is God. This is what I need. You can do it however you want to do it. Very important. And so people who believe nothing from God will receive nothing from God because it requires faith. And faith is invisible. Again, we live in such a visible, tangible world that we miss the invisible and we forsake the intangible. And so I believe that touch was very much a part of Jesus saying, look, and actually, science has verified that in your fingertips, there are vibrations. And the part of that is that when the body is touched, there's a sensation that often happens through that touch. Don't look at me like you haven't been there. Something special about that. It's very important that if you have a spouse, a loved one, someone you care about deeply, that you hug them. Many couples don't hug. They get married after 20 years. They don't even, they're roommates. They've lost that loving feeling. Whoa, that loving feeling. You keep it through touch. As I shared last week, Susan and I, we have so much fun, and sometimes if we've gone a day without really talking or touching, and you kind of feel distant, and she'll do this too. We touch feet. I told you last week, we touch feet. And when I feel her foot kind of tickling my foot, I said, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. We touch little feet. And we're healed in two ways. Her heel, his heel. We healed. And it's so much fun because just that little touch, not even what someone says, but if you've had an argument or something, and sometimes you just need to shut up and touch up. Just don't go up and say, well, you know, I want you to understand. Just go put a hand on a shoulder, and they might pull away, and just do it again. And if they slap you, don't do it again. But it breaks down barriers. And I believe one of the reasons Jesus touched was that reason was, I want you to know I'm not afraid to touch you. He touched the lepers. That we all need to understand this power that comes with touch. So, touch can tear down the barriers in the walls. Touch can build up emotional strength. We have long known that physical touch is a way of communicating emotional love. Numerous research projects in the area of child development have made that conclusion. Babies who are held, hugged, and kissed develop a healthier emotional life than those who are left for long periods of time without physical contact. It's called bonding. It's called bonding. And it's scientifically proven that it creates a healthier human being when there is touch. Now, if two of you are married and you say, well, I'm just not the touchy type, that's probably why you look like you slept upside down in a post hole. You're a cardboard cutout of who God made you. Now, you can get mad at me if you want, but I promise you, if you start this, it will change your life. I'm not the touchy type. You need to become touchy. I remember one movie I watched with my kids. It was No Touchy. Some of you remember that, Emperor's New Groove, I believe it was. And some of you will get on to me and say, well, that was just demonic. No, it's cute. No Touchy. And so, now, I do believe that there are weird people that I don't want to touch me. Now, I know when I say that, some of you will try to hug me, and if I don't catch it today, he didn't want No Touchy. But there are people, it's okay for you to have boundaries. It's okay for you to not want certain people to touch you. I'm not saying you need to go out and just tell everybody, hugs for free. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you and I are people who need touch. And we need to give touch in an appropriate way. And that means, guys, you don't go up and just start hugging on women to get fulfilled. And I am speaking to guys. I am a guy, and you got to watch out for guys. Just saying. Don't get mad at me. A touch of a husband and wife also has an emotional effect or a bonding effect. A bonding effect. It breaks down walls. Man, I get in trouble if I ever get up without hugging Susan, and I'm getting up, I'm having a coffee, hey, she'll holler at me. Sometimes I like to do it just to hear her holler at me because it makes me feel wanted. I just set myself up for a, hey, you didn't hug me. Just wanted to make sure you wanted one. You know, we all want to be wanted. We all want to be loved. We all want to be cared for. It's very simple. And anybody who says they don't is hurting on the inside. And that is not a slam on you. I'm just saying, people who are distant from hugs probably have some internal conflict. Maybe they've been abused. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they're wounded. Whatever the case may be. But the reality is that we need to do a better job of intentionally Even shaking hands, where there are people who won't shake hands because after COVID we're going to pass something on. And I don't think that's God's best for us. Again, I think all of this was set up to further distance us, not just physically or disease-wise, but emotionally, to keep us disconnected. And you can think I'm crazy. You can call me whatever you want. But listen, there's a lot more to this that we just got, and to instill fear in a culture. And fear is not from God. And of course, as I've gotten older, I'm looking and I'm doing the count on my life and kind of going, wow, I'm in that place where you go, yeah, it's happening fast, baby. My life's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer that sucker gets to the cardboard, the quicker it rolls. And I'm like, man, somebody get a new roll quick on here. This thing is winding down. Yeah, some of y'all admit it and the rest of y'all denial. So, the physical side of touch, let me get to that. Different dialects and different messages, different ways of touching. It's like there are so many dialects in India, in China, that there is the Chinese language, but there are different dialects there. And people from those countries will tell you, well, I speak that, but it's a different dialect than what I speak every day. And so we have to realize different people feel differently. Some people are comfortable with a handshake. And let me say this to you. Honor the handshake. Some people don't want to be hugged unless you're just a little bit annoying like I am sometimes. We have one friend who hates being touched at all. She just hates it. But their family, she's like a sister and her husband like a brother. I've known him for 30-some years. And she hates it. So every time I see her, I just go up and hug her. She goes, So, but it you have to respect, unless you're really close and annoying, other people's comfort level. And so most people, not all, are comfortable with a handshake. Some people won't. They will not allow you to shake their hand. So then some people will fist bump. And only reason if somebody's coming out of the restroom, a fist bump is really good. I just said that out loud. But, you know, there... got to have a little humor here, okay? I mean, but you kind of go, well, I'm not sure, you know, where they been, you know, are they just pumping gas or, you know, whatever. Try to cover that a little bit. But I do love the one thing that came out of COVID is we have these antibacterial things everywhere and they're free. I hate it, though, when I go into a store and I put my hand on it and it doesn't work. I usually go tell them, hey, it's not working. If you're going to have it, make it work. So anyway, you have to understand, and then some people are okay with a pat on the back. And I will say this, and I again, some women get mad at me for saying this, and some men do as well. But, you know, respectfully, a side hug on a woman unless you really know that person, is a safer thing to do. You got me? And so, again, yeah, it can sound old-fashioned, old school, but I always want to be respectful of people, and I think that sometimes we have to really think before we act in order to protect that relationship from getting funky, okay? So just always consider that, and consider who the people are that you're with, okay? That is very, very important. Whatever there is of me resides in my body. To touch my body is to touch me. To withdraw from my body is to distance yourself from me emotionally. In our society, shaking hands is a way of communicating openness and social closeness to another individual. When, on rare occasions, one man refuses to shake hands with another, it communicates a message that things are not right in their relationship. And let me take that a step further. If you are unwilling to be hugged by the person you love and the person that loves you, if you're unwilling, then what that says is, they're mad at me. They may not be. They may be preoccupied. But what you think or what you feel in your person is they're mad at me, they don't like me, and they don't want to hug. Or they don't want to touch. And that's how come I say you have to, at that point, start communication. Well, is everything all right? Because that, without any words spoken, you can feel someone distancing themselves from you because they are untouchable. And touch, again, is very vital. I believe, matter of fact, many differences and rifts in a relationship can be healed, not by the words you speak, but by the way you allow someone to touch you. And we, in a world where there's more chaos and divorces and everything than ever, these are just things we have to work through. And so if you have a spouse that's unwilling to be touched, that relationship is in danger right there. You have someone who wants to touch and someone who doesn't want to be touched, that relationship is fractured. Now, you can get mad and say, well, I'm just not the touchy type. Well, you probably need to start. All these five love languages need to be something that we work on all the time. As I said, I grew up without any affirmation. My mother was pretty good. My dad wasn't. And he was a great guy, but that wasn't his thing. And so as a boy growing up, I did not learn how to operate in these languages because my dad grew up in a family of 12. They didn't have time to talk. They certainly didn't have to have time to sit around and touch. To have quality time was impossible. They were poor. They lived in a small house. There was no intimate time, just sitting there and that kind of thing. So my dad, literally, his thing was acts of service because there was always something to do. And the only way you could prove that you were really a vital part of the family was to provide some sort of effort and work or service to show you're a part of that family. And so it's important that we consider how I can do these things. Now, Susan will tell you, and before we got married, God really dealt with me strongly to how to cultivate, and not perfect, please don't hear me say that. And we have some difficulty, but they're never insurmountable. And my thing is that what I have found, words of affirmation are a key that at least unlocks the door to being heard. Most of the time we approach somebody when we're mad about what they did to hurt us, instead of approaching and saying, you know, you have so many wonderful qualities about you, and here they are. And this is just humor, but you really suck at this. Don't say that. Say, you know, but this one particular thing really hurt me. Okay? So, in other words, there's a soft way, and I'm not the soft type. So I've had to learn how to adjust my conversation to be redemptive instead of punitive. If it's punitive first, it will probably never become redemptive. But I'm going to tell you, when you can tell someone how wonderful they are, and it's true. Why? Because everybody's wonderful. Some people just aren't wearing it. But they're wonderful. Why? Because God created them in His image and His likeness. That means everybody has value. The problem is we don't value people. We want people to value us. So we work most of our life to present ourselves in a way that makes you value me. Now, see, whether you value me or not, and I used to find my value in a lot of different ways that were stupid. I mean, I could determine whether I was valued by how many people showed up at church or how many people liked the sermon or how many people affirmed. And what I realized was you're not responsible for my value, but you are responsible to honor everybody and the value that they have in God. And so, but you have to set the standard and say, I am valuable. And once you become valuable, you will become secure. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's an invisible attraction to secure people. When you get around secure people, you feel drawn to them because you don't feel like they want anything from you and they don't need anything from you. And that's how come you like being around them. And so if you don't, people don't like being around you, I'm not trying to be mean, but what it says is you don't value yourself enough for other people to want to value you because they don't see you valuing you. Never cut yourself down. Never say you're stupid. Never say you're ugly. Never say those things. You can say, man, I'm creating the image and likeness of God. When He made me, He broke the mold. And it doesn't matter what anybody, at that point, let me just tell you, there are people of all different sizes that some people wear heavy well. I'm so hard. I political correctness, I fail at that. Thank you, I'm trying. But the reason I say this is we live in a society that's so messed up with the physical appearance, and somehow we determine the value based on how someone looks to us and still how they look to God. And let me tell you, how they look to God, just like God looks at you. Beautiful. Wonderful. And we have to have that perspective and that view in order for this to work. So, there's the handshake, the pat on the back, hugs, and I'm going to let it go at that because then I have to get into the whole other thing. Foot massage. Oh, Susan was in here a while ago. Dang, I missed that. It would have been great. But the Bible talked about Jesus washing feet, and they did foot washings. And now we say, well, their feet were dirty. But I think a part of it was touch, that there was a need for people to feel touched. So here we go. I'm going to finish. Functional, professional touches. When touching fulfills a purpose and the person touching fulfills a special role, Dr. Barbara Taylor. Now, when I get my hair cut, I hope they slow down. I wish I had more hair so it would take longer to cut. Because she can be done on my hair in about 5 minutes. And it's like, okay, you know, I like, when I get to heaven, I told Susan, I said, either you or an angel going to massage my head for about 1,000 years. It's just like, oh, it's so comfortable. And so there's that functional profession. And then there's the social polite touch used for greeting, appreciation, cordiality, business and strangers, business associates and strangers. So you have the professional touch, you have the social polite touch, you have the friendship and warmth, express concern and caring, extended family, neighbors, and workmates. Are you seeing the difference here? There are all these different relationships, categorical relationships, and they're not all the same. And they shouldn't be the same. You have to be able to identify. A doctor has to remain professional. You don't get intimate with a doctor. And doctors should never, and this is why I tell people, and a lot of times in movies they don't show this, but in professional environments there should always be a man and woman in that room whenever something's happening with a doctor. You never, ever allow yourself to be in a position to be alone with the opposite sex in a room where it's professional. Okay? It's very, you say, well, why is he saying this? Because let me tell you right now, some of the greatest dangers are when you are alone with somebody that touches you in a way you need to be touched, but it's not the person that should be doing it. Thank you very little. Love/intimacy touches shows affection and caring between close family members, special friends. Again, categorically, there are acceptable, appropriate ways to touch and be touched depending on the categorical relationship you have with that person. You don't just go up and hug somebody you don't know with a full frontal hug. Thank you very much. I'm trying to help because here's what happens. You say, well, they were okay with it. Yeah, but your spouse may not be. You also have to consider everybody else in your life when you're doing this. Just being very, very honest, there are people I don't want hugging my wife. Thank you very much. She's my wife, not yours. And vice versa. I want to respect not just the one person, I want to respect their other person. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's called respect. And when it comes to physical touch, there has to be a great sensitivity. And then lastly, obviously the sexual aspect of this, in an erotic context, cultures have differing rules about touching. Ours is a low-touch culture, which I don't think is all that bad, where we seldom touch in public. You know, when I was in college, I went to a Christian university, and they called it PDA, public display of affection. And if you got too close to another classmate of the opposite sex, you would be addressed by one of the RAs saying that is inappropriate. And at the time, I thought it was stupid because I was young and hormonal. Guys, let me tell y'all something. Guys have issues. They just do. And before they're 25, they're just pretty much as dumb as a rock. And so, you women, you think, I mean, you find some guy that you think, oh, he's just so wonderful. And no, now if he ain't over 25, he ain't even approached wonderful yet. Okay, so the reality is, and we don't talk about this in church, oh, God, he's out on a limb. I live on a limb. Oftentimes, I live on a leaf. Because we don't talk about things in church we ought to be talking about. Because it's so I'm not uncomfortable. I could go so much out there right now that some of y'all would blush. Because I don't believe that we talk about things we ought to talk about. We just don't. We're like, oh, I can't, that's untouchable. No, no, no. The reason we're in so much trouble is we don't talk about things that keep us out of trouble. So, those who touch less tend to be less stable emotionally and socially withdrawn. So now, for me, honestly, with Susan, I am absolutely 110. My love tank, touch-wise, is filled. I don't leave the house going, man, I got to have a hug from somebody. I'm just empty. Somebody got to give the bishop a hug. My tank is so stinking full that I mean, you could just walk by me and feel love. It's like, did he just hug me? No, I've been hugged so much, that hug went right over into you. You see what I'm saying? And then what happens is if you're not careful, words of affirmation will lead to an inappropriate touch because somebody actually appreciated you. So when someone's nice to you of the opposite sex and somebody at home's not nice to you or someone you love and they're not nice to you, you're going to go out and somebody that's nice to you, that opens the door for you to be open to being inappropriately touched. And then when someone listens to you, this and women, you'll say this, when someone actually listens to you, because men are notorious for hearing but not listening. And so if you actually give time to someone else and you listen to them, you have created an emotional connection with them. And every now and then, Susan goes, are you listening? I mean, she could tell I'm not. And I go, I put whatever it is down and I listen. And I mean, I'm going to tell you, that's some of the most sexy time we ever have. She looks and goes, yeah, I got him. You see what I'm saying? Now, I don't think this is rocket science. I don't think building good, healthy relationships is rocket science. It just takes effort. It takes effort. And I know that some guys are going to be shaking their head because men are worse at this. Women are awesome at this. Women are far better at this. And we have to stop with the egos. We have to stop with the machismo. Is that right, Robert? Did I land that right? It is so awesome to find yourself in a place where these things are in operation. Like I said, that every one of these languages will contribute to a very healthy relationship. Learn them. I will finish these in a couple. Next week is Mother's Day. I have a sermon that was that I've just created. I've set aside for next week, so this will be intermission next week from building stronger relationships. Though next week will contribute, but I am so excited about the message next week. You have no idea. I think it's going to be great. And when I say that, there's a little pressure on me to make it great. But you need to be here. And again. Be in the house of God. Don't make God an option. Don't make his house an option. People say, well, I'm busy. Oh, let me, I want to be at the gate when you tell God, you know, I was really busy on Sundays. Hope you understand. I had six other days of the week, and, you know, I just needed a break from you, God. So I took Sunday off. Listen, I'm going to be adamant about this because we're living in a world that acts like coming to God's house is just something, okay, I got to do it. I got to go to church. You get to go to church. If you lived in a communist country, that would be, you get to go to church. And if you can explain how to me, I mean, I'd love to hear your story about how, let me just exaggerate for a moment. Explain to God how you could not give him 3 hours on a Sunday, which is way stretched. Because some of you get here at 9:45 and you leave at like already somebody gone. Don't leave now or I'll point you out. Really? That we can't give God, okay, let's go 2 hours. God, I don't know, man, I just couldn't find time for 2 hours out of 7 days. Give me a break. You have so grossly misunderstood grace. Get in the house of God, be in the house of God, stay in the house of God, make the house of God a priority. Yeah, I'm not going to read it yet. Maybe next week. I had this profound thing come up the other day, hit me right here. Sunday is just another day in a fallen world. It's not just another day, it's a day of worship. It's a day of worship. Well, I better pray before I get in a fray. Is that okay? Let's do that. Father, thank you for being the God that you are and dealing with the mess that we've created. God, our humanity just seems to wake up every day demanding its own way. But God, your power, your authority, your dominion, and all that you are screams at us every day, not at us, but to us, for us, to have a relationship with you. If we can't have a relationship with you, a perfect God, how in the world can we have a relationship with anybody on earth? So, Lord, it begins with that relationship with you, honoring you, affirming you, quality time with you, serving you. It begins right there. And if we can serve you and honor you and give time to you and affirm who you are, touch you and be touched by your spirit, we're changed people, and that change will affect every horizontal relationship we have. May we put forth the time to build that relationship with you and with others. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray a prayer that would open the door for all of you. This door is open, but that you would pray this prayer of salvation, receiving Christ into your life. I want everyone to pray this with me, and those of you watching online, say, Father God, thank you so much for loving me so much that you gave your only son to die on the cross for my sin. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. Today I give my life to you. I repent of my sin, and I declare today I am saved. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or to recommit your life to Christ, text the word SAVED to 405-500-1310. 405-500-1310. Text the word SAVED. Follow that digital pattern. We'll be praying for you. All right? This time, I want to receive our tithes and our offerings. I was talking to some people this week, and we were kind of talking theologically, and I want you to hear this because it's very important. You know, I've talked to wealthy people, wealthy people, have been criticized throughout the ages by church people, religious people, because, you know, for whatever reason, at least the church I grew up in, if you were wealthy, that probably meant you were a sinner. And I'm serious as I could be. It's really weird. But Bible says it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven is for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. When I was a kid, I thought, well, that's what they used. Because if any of you have had a needle, I can't get a piece of thread through it, much less a camel. But the reality is the eye of the needle was a door in the wall of Jerusalem. And that camels came and went. In order for a camel to get through that particular gate, it had to get down on its knees. But it could get through very simply, but it had to get on its knees. Now, isn't that interesting? Get on its knees. So a wealthy person can enter heaven, and it's just you get on your knees. How many of you know getting on your knees and praying to God ain't a bad thing? Saying, God, everything I have and everything I am is yours. And so I believe that there is a humility to gaining wealth in the kingdom of God, and that is, God, I get down on my knees and I go through that needle, God. I'm going through. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to get through. And so today, if you want to give, the QR code's on the screen behind me. You can put your smartphone on that, take you to the giving platform. Also, you can text the word give to 405-546-2226, and you can set it up on a debit card or credit card. Very simple. You can give on your way out. If you're in-house, if you're watching online, you can also go to our website, mosaikokc.church/give, or you can mail it to our offices at 5821 Northwest Expressway, 73132, Oklahoma City. But I want to thank you ahead of time for giving. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come to the left of the stage, your right. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, these people know how to pray, okay? They know how to pray. Also, I want to remind you that starting this Tuesday, our women's Bible study starts. Kathy Carlson will be teaching it. If I've ever known anybody that had a sweeter spirit, I don't know who they are, and more articulate and capable. Ladies, I promise you, you will go away feeling loved from every side and educated and learning. Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind, we have that available. It'll be available Tuesday at noon. The Bible study's here at noon. You can buy your materials. It's a workbook and a textbook. And it's going to be an awesome time. We did it at noon because there are so many of you made the work, or you can take off and you can be here and go back to work. And if you need to leave early, that's not going to be a problem. If you come a little late, probably not a problem. You might miss a little bit, but you still get here. It's at noon on Tuesday. If you're not already signed up at the welcome kiosk as you exit. If this is your first time here, please go to the welcome kiosk. We have a gift for you. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to go out with a shout of hallelujah on three. Y'all look pretty good, but I could tell the rain's on you. So go outside and shine for Jesus, all right? One, two, three, hallelujah. Hello, this is Pastor Mark Crow. I just want to take a quick moment to thank you for joining us online. We hope you have a blessed week this week and get to be a blessing to those around you. I want to invite you to join us at Mosaic Church OKC next week at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. or join us online. God bless you.